I'm going to ask that everyone stand for just a bit and introduce yourself to your neighbor. Welcome them. All right, that sounded really, really good to me from up here. And now we're going to join together as we begin our worship by singing A Wonderful Savior. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me. He hides my soul in the cleft of the rock where rivers of pleasure I see. He hides my soul.
Jesus, my Good morning and welcome to all. Welcome to all. We have a very good crowd today gathered here in person. I know we have a lot of folks that are worshiping with us online as well. Welcome to you. We're grateful for you being a part of our West Irwin worshiping family this morning. We would like to ask for everyone to fill out one of the white cards you see in front of you if you're one of our guests or one of our members, or if you're one of our members, you can check in on the app and mark your attendance there. We really appreciate that. That will help us out a lot. Several announcements today and updates, prayer updates in a moment. This evening at 5 p.m., we will have our reflections class. That will be across the parking lot in the office, one of the large office classrooms. Davy Carter will be leading that class tonight, so that I hope that you'll be able to come and be a part of that. You'll notice in our bulletin there are lots of activities going on. One of the ones coming up soon is our Young at Heart dinner on February the 13th. And Kathy Hallman and her crew are going to be preparing the food. So this is the ideal time for you to come to a Young at Heart dinner because you will not have to bring anything but yourself. That will be the night before Valentine's Day on February 13th. So today is the perfect day to sign up for that in the foyer. And lots of other announcements and activities coming up. Our widow's date night, we have a wonderful night where our young men pay honor and have an evening with some of our wonderful senior ladies, and it's just a great, great night. And so look at that and some other activities that are going on coming up. We told you recently that Tim Holt Jr. is back and is a part of our church family. We're glad for that. Gail is here today, Tim's mother, and of course she has been a part of our West Irwin family for a long, long time and certainly wants that to continue. So Gail, if you wouldn't mind standing and waving, and we're glad to have you back, dear sister. Thank you very much. The Holt family is very special to all of us for sure. I have some prayer updates, and then Wade, before the Shepherd's Prayer, will have one or two as well. Ronnie Thornton, Ronnie and Paula have been visiting with us regularly. Eric's parents, Ronnie will be having back surgery in Frisco. Two parts, the first one on February 13th and the next one on February 17th. He and Paula request our prayers. He will be in the hospital at Texas Back Institute in Frisco during that whole time for about 12 days. So be prayerful for all of them and their family. Wanda Weathers will have knee replacement surgery on February 10th at Spine and Joint Hospital. Also, our Bryn Abels will have an appendectomy on February 10th. And so we want to remember Bryn and all the Abels family in our prayers. And also my prostate surgery, removal surgery. Joyce told me what the word is for that, and I'm not gonna attempt it. But that will be this coming Thursday morning at Christus. I'll be in the hospital for one night and then at home for about a month. And we have tons of people who have stepped up to take all of my chores over the next several weeks. And I appreciate that very, very much. And of course, we appreciate your encouragement and especially your prayers over these next several weeks. Wade.
Good morning, church. I have a few things to add to what Bill's, our prayer and care concerns is. If you'll notice that David Bell's here this morning, but Elaine is not with him. She had a fall earlier this past week. And so they took her to Christus, Mother Francis. She's in room 6636. They're trying to get her pain under control. She has suffered at least a broken tibia in several places, and so it's pinched a nerve, so she's in a lot of pain right now. Tomorrow she'll be moved to Health South, and she does feel good enough to have visitors. So if y'all can put that on your list of people to go visit, she would enjoy that as well. So cards are always welcome as well. And so, and then Jerry Lambert's wife, Deborah, has COVID. So let's bow this morning and we will include all these in our prayers. Dear God, we come before you this morning recognizing you that you are the creator. You're the sustainer. You are the reason that we exist. We thank you for all the many blessings that we enjoy in this country and also as Christians, knowing that you have plans for us past this life. We thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for this church and for the strength that it all gives each and every one of us to come together this morning and worship, knowing that we have strength in unity and strength with each other. I want to pray, dear Heavenly Father, for several that have had health problems recently. That would Jerry Lambert's wife, Deborah, as well as we pray, dear sweet Elaine Bell, gets better and that they will get her pain under control so that she can begin the recovery process. We also want to pray for Don Durham and Norma as well, as they undergo health challenges that they have. And we pray also, dear Heavenly Father, for Dale Blackstone. He is such a vital part of this church. We pray that they will continue to work on his blood pressure issues. We also, dear Heavenly Father, want to pray for the upcoming surgeries of Bryn Abels and Ronnie Thornton, and Bill Allen, Wanda Weathers. We pray that all of those will be successful and that they will be able to enjoy good health after that and continue to be a vital part of this congregation moving forward. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you have given us, and we see so many problems in the world today. We pray for peace worldwide, that the senseless killing of people will end, and that we will have some leadership that can at least search for peace processes so that the rest of the world may live in peace. We pray for all of the families from all of the two plane crashes that happened this past week. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray that you will comfort them in this tragic loss of all of these individuals. We pray, dear Heavenly Father, for our mission committee and the money that was raised in the end of year special contribution, that you will help the mission committee be able to find uses for that money so that we can further your kingdom, so we can evangelize the world and we can spread the gospel and we can baptize people and convert them into Christianity. Dear Heavenly Father, to strengthen your kingdom and add to your kingdom as well. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, for Southern Cates and his wife, Riley, who are coming to work here in less than a month now. Pray that they will have a good transition and that their move will be smooth and they will be able to get in to Tyler and get settled in. And we pray for the preacher search committee as well, dear Heavenly Father, that you will help them find and that you will send the right man and family to us to help this church move forward throughout 2025 and into the future. We thank you for Jesus. That's why we're here today, is because of the sacrifice that Jesus made for us that allows us to enjoy the promise of heaven as well as to commune with you as well, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for that sacrifice he made. Without it, we would live a hopeless life, that we see much of the rest of the planet suffering from. We do know where we are headed. We do have the knowledge and the peace that that brings with us. Pray, dear Heavenly Father, that you will always help us to appreciate that sacrifice and to confess the name of Jesus to everyone in which we come in contact with. We say this prayer through that precious name of Jesus. Amen.
As I was sitting in my office this last week selecting songs for the service this morning, I was thumbing through the songbook and I came across this song. I don't think I've ever led it as a communion song, but the title just caught my attention. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. That's why we're here. That's why we're remembering his death and his burial and his resurrection. He loved you. He loved me so much that he gave himself for my sins. What a gift. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely.
I actually wrote this one down, so maybe it'll be okay. Plus, I couldn't come up here with my normal swag because Wade's wearing a gauge and couldn't match him, so. Let me first say thanks for the cards, text, and prayers on my mother's unexpected death. I know I didn't send anything to the bulletin, but it means a lot, and it was noticed, each and every one of you. And 2024 was a forgettable year for our household between my son-in-law Jordan's mother, Donna Reed's death, and my own mother's death. And we just ready to move forward in 2025. I'll tie all this together at the table to end. I myself have recently struggled with a health scare. You hear the word biopsy and pathology, and you're asking if it's a dream or a nightmare. And I'm not really a crier, but when the doctor came in and said benign, a tear rolled down my eye. I told two people. Bill Allen was one of them, and he was praying for me. Thank you, Bill. I'm praying for you too. Now, Joanna was a little different. She was like the old shampoo commercial. I told two friends, and they told two friends. And when I found out about this, I looked at her and said, you know, you violated my HIPAA. I did not play let's make a deal with God. I know better because I would fail him on my side. It has made my prayer life more alive. That is for sure. We've always failed on our side, but now we have an unfailing deal, a plan through the Son. So let's do this now. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for our blessings. Thank you for this body, your Son, the Christ, sacrificed for us on our behalf. And this unfailing plan that you've unveiled to us to give us a chance because we know we're going to fail on our side. Lord, just continue to forgive us, continue to bless us. In your Son's name, amen.
My life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me.
Let's pray. Dear Almighty God, we approach your throne once again, just giving thanks and remembrance of the blood that was sacrificed on the cross to save us, to wash away all sin. Such a great, great idea. Be with us in our minds as we go to that cross now and think about these things. In Jesus' name, amen. That concludes the table. Let's go to prayer again. Dear Lord, thank you for all our blessings. You continue to shower them down, and even though sometimes we have to understand that your ways and our ways are not alike, and why does the rain fall on the just and the unjust, we do know that everything good comes from you. And so we'll take this time now to give back and further your kingdom here at this place, missionary works, and the autonomy of the Spanish church as it achieves its goals, and too many things to name. And thank you for all that. Lord, be with us the rest of this week, and let our minds not get too far from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
So thankful that here at West Irwin, we see the importance of spending time together outside of Bible class and our worship services, because being together is so very important. We need each other. We depend upon one another. We need one another's encouragement and prayers, and just spending time visiting and enjoying our own fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ is so very meaningful. If you were in the assembly a couple of weeks ago, a lot of these videos are going to look familiar to you because they are a repeat. But in December of this past year, just last month, or month 2 months ago now, being February 1st, we had our annual holiday get-together and had Santa visit. And our young people, our elementary, middle school, and high school students mean so much to us. They are very much a live part of this church, and we appreciate those that minister to their needs and teach them and encourage them and build them up. And so we have that celebration, especially for them, and Santa comes and visits us, and we enjoy a good meal together. But on the other end of that spectrum, we also have a group known as our YAH, Young at Heart. And they meet each month, and there are some videos up there showing their fellowship that they had in December as well. But the most recent celebration that we had, which was so very exciting for us, was with Israel and Martha Sandoval, who are now with the Iglesia de Cristo here in Tyler. And they began their good work right here at West Irwin. I remember when Sonia and I came. They were meeting in our small auditorium, what we call our chapel now, and then they met in our lighthouse, which is now our building across the street that our youth group uses for their Bible classes and get-togethers. And West Irwin assisted them in purchasing some property in a building that's out on Greenbrier between Highway 31 and 64 outside the loop, and they have paid off their mortgage. And they wanted to celebrate that accomplishment with us. And this past Sunday, they had a special meal following our morning worship and their morning worship. And a good number of our people were there to help celebrate that occasion. And they just treated our people abundantly well. They are a special group. They are our family. They may not worship with us, but they're a part of our family. Again, I think it's so important that we provide times of get-together and fellowship. The love that we have for one another. We read the early church spent so much time in one another's homes. The reason for small groups. We're blessed by small groups here, and we want more of our people to become involved in those small groups. Because they help us get to truly know one another, and we build such strong, strong relationships. And so these videos you're looking at this morning, these pictures, are just a tidbit of the many things that take place here at West Irwin, and I hope they encourage you and help you to to better appreciate who we are and what we strive to be for the cause of Christ. I'm going to turn the service over now. We're going to sing one more song, and then we'll turn it over to our brother Bill Allen, and he'll be sharing with us from the Word of God. If you're part of the young people's classes, you're dismissed at this time. If you have an attendance card, please have it ready, and our young men will pick it up, and let's all stand together as we sing Living by Faith. I care not today what the morrow may bring, a shadow of sunshine or rain. The Lord I know rules over everything, and all of my worry is vain. Living by faith in Jesus alone, trusting and confiding in His great love. From all that's there, He shall bring love. I'm living by faith and filled with love. Though tempests may blow and the storm clouds arise, obscuring the brightness of the light, I'm never alone in the overhead skies, the master of the sun and the sky. Living by faith,
I have to tell you that Joyce and I have some special guests with us today. Some of our best friends in the whole wide world, Lee and Jody Thornton, are with us. And a couple of things. First of all, don't believe anything they tell you about me. We have known them for 40 years. We were all in first grade together. Actually, 40 years ago is when we moved to Arlington, Texas, and got to meet Lee and Jody. Lee was one of our deacons, and Jody was just a wonderful servant of the Lord in so many different areas. Both of them best friends for Bill and Joyce for all of these years, and it is a real treat that y'all are here today. I can tell you that what I wish and what I pray is that Southern and Riley and Mabry and their little boy and our new preacher and his family will have friends like you, and that they will have them here. And that's what I want more than anything for those two families. And I believe that they will. I believe that they will. The heroes of Genesis are heroes of faith. Over the last several weeks, we've been looking at the heroes of Genesis and looked at several of those. And one of the things that I come away from is even in that time, which of course begins in creation and then continues on, they still, as we sang just a moment ago, were living by faith, and they became heroes of faith for God's people throughout the Old Testament time and in the first century and through even to today. The heroes of Genesis are heroes of faith. And so the ones that we looked at, first of all with Enoch and Noah were walking with God. Enoch's story is found in Genesis 5, and it's a little bit of an odd story. He doesn't live as long as the people lived at that time, and that was not long after creation. And then Scripture just says, that he walked with God for 365 years, and then he was not because God took him. He no longer existed in this world because the one that he had walked with all of those years decided it was time for him to come home, and he did. Noah was another one who is described specifically in these words as walking with God. Noah walked with God. Enoch walked with God. And Noah's story, of course, Genesis 5 through 9, we're all very familiar with that. Noah and the flood, that's a very familiar story. In fact, I can tell you a little story on Bill. Everyone knows the story of Noah and the flood. And even people that don't go to church know the story of Noah and the flood. And I preached a sermon one time on Noah and the flood. And through the whole sermon, instead of Noah, I said Moses. Through the whole sermon. And of course, it couldn't have been a sermon about, you know, Hezekiah or Habakkuk or someone that no one knows the story. Oh, no, no, no. It had to be one that everyone knew. So, you know, every once in a while, God throws stuff at you, right, Sean, to remind you of your humanity and give you a little dose of humility. But Noah was described as someone who walked with God. Not perfectly, of course not. But Enoch and Noah were walking with God. And of course, there's Abraham and Sarah who were traveling with God. And, you know, really their story begins in Genesis chapter 12 when God calls them and says, I want you to go somewhere, and I'm not going to tell you where, but you'll know when you get there because I'll tell you. Abraham and Sarah were traveling with God, as our shepherd Wade Weathers shared earlier. We are blessed because we know where we're going. We are blessed because we have faith and hope and peace for the journey. And I believe that Abraham and Sarah had that too, even though they didn't know exactly which exit they were going to take and stop there. But Abraham and Sarah were traveling with God. In Genesis 12 through 25, we read about all of that. And it started in Ur, and that is in modern-day southern Iraq. Went from there to a place called Haran in southeastern Turkey by today's map. Then went to Canaan, of course, where Israel is today. And from Israel, they went to Egypt and back. About 1,500 miles just in those travels. Not counting all the times that they were traveling around in their daily and yearly lives. And they did that with faith. Jacob is another one who is described as being a man of faith. And Jacob is known for wrestling with God. Abraham and Sarah's son of promise was Isaac. Isaac's wife was Rebekah. Isaac and Rebekah had twins, Esau the oldest and Jacob the youngest. And it was told to Rebekah when they were in the womb, as she was feeling them jostling around in her, the Lord told her, you have two nations in your womb, and the older one is going to serve the younger one. And so Rebekah, I think partly because of that, always had a special preference for Jacob, the younger one. And Isaac, of course, loved his older son. He loved both of them, but his older son was probably more like he was a hunter, was a burly guy, who was a man of the outdoors, and he knew how to kill dad's favorite animals for food. He knew how to prepare it. And through all of that, Jacob was still the son of promise. And he stole his big brother's birthright as the oldest son, basically, for all practical purposes. And he stole his blessing in conspiracy with his mother to fool Isaac, his father, when he was dying, into thinking that he was blessing the older son and not Jacob. And so at that point, of course, mother sends Jacob away to her brother, to Uncle Laban, and that's where all of the nation of Israel really comes from, Jacob and his 12 sons and a daughter, and all the stories that go during the 20 years that he is there, and all the wrestling with God that he did. But there's a very specific time in Genesis 32 when God had told Jacob, come back, go back home. It's time to face your history. It's time to face your sins. It's time to face your brother. And so as he goes, he prepares all the family and all the gifts and all the kids in every order and all of that. But there's a night when he's by himself, and Scripture says simply that there was a man there, an angel, some presence of God, and he wrestled with Jacob all night. Jacob lived his life of faith wrestling with God, wrestling with his brother, wrestling with himself. But ultimately, he did it by faith. And then finally, we looked at Joseph, Jacob's second to the youngest son, the son of his beloved wife, Rachel, the first son that she had and bore him. And what a story that is. We read about that in Genesis 37 through 50 especially. And we read that at age 17, because of their jealousy, Joseph was sold out to some travelers who were going to Egypt. And they were going to kill him, but then they decided, well, we might as well make a dime or two off of this. So they sold him. They sold their brother. They took his coat of many colors. And they ripped it all up, and they killed an animal and put blood all over it. And they took it back to Dad and say, see, Dad, do you recognize this? The son you love is dead. And from that day on, their father, Jacob, whose name was changed to Israel, mourned for his son. My gray head will go down in shame and in mourning, he said. But what about Joseph? Well, Joseph was taken to Egypt. He was sold to an official of Pharaoh by the name of Potiphar. He ends up in prison, falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of making sexual advances. And while there, God is with him, it says, amazingly enough. And then finally, after serving as a slave and after serving as an inmate in a prison for 13 years, Pharaoh has him freed because of his ability through the power of God to interpret an important dream that Pharaoh dreamed that would tell about the next 14 years, 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. Joseph was 17 years old, 17 years old. When his brothers sold him out, and he went to this foreign country that spoke a different language, that worshiped other gods that were not gods at all. 13 years later, he was released by Pharaoh, but it was still 9 years after that before he was reunited with his family. But what an emotional scene that was, as we read about last week. His brothers, very concerned that now he's a very powerful man in Egypt. And they're thinking that he's going to kill us for sure, or imprison us, or do something horrible to us after what we did to him. And Joseph said a couple of times in the last chapters of Genesis, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good. God is the ultimate hero in each of these stories and in the Old Testament. With Enoch and Noah walking with God, with Abraham and Sarah traveling with God, with Jacob wrestling with God, with Joseph waiting for God all those years. God is the ultimate hero in each of these stories. And in all of these wonderful stories and of heroes of faith in Genesis, they all point us to the God with whom they walked and traveled and wrestled, and on whom they waited. How do we know they are heroes of faith? Well, as the kids sing, because the Bible tells me so. One of the great verses we find in Scripture is in Genesis 15, verse 6. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. How could Abraham and Sarah do all of that? Because they had faith. As we sang, they lived by faith. The New Testament looks back at this verse, not just this story, but this verse, Genesis 15, verse 6, of how Abraham believed God and God credited it to him. He didn't earn it. He didn't deserve it. God declared Abraham righteous because he believed, because of his faith. Scripture reminds us that When we believe and trust in God by faith, we're children of Abraham. And also when that faith is the only kind of biblical faith that the Bible speaks about, it's an active faith. It's a faith that does stuff, good stuff, in the name of the Lord. That's when we are children of Abraham. And as we have seen along the way, all of these great characters and heroes of Genesis show up in the great honor roll of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. And so I want to read from that passage as it applies to these great heroes of faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. You see, it's not sight. Paul would say that in 2 Corinthians 5. We live by faith, not by sight. One day we will live by sight. John tells us one day we will be like him because we will see him as he is. But that's not today. Today we live by faith. Today we live by trusting the one that we can't physically see. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. Verse 3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. I had someone tell me one time that the most important verse in Scripture to him was Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And I think he made a good point. He said, if you don't believe that, none of the rest of it is going to make sense. And none of the rest of it is going to matter to you. Unless you believe that one, that this is all from God. You've heard me say it many times, many times. I have come to believe two things about God. I believe, first of all, God exists. And I believe, secondly, what? I'm not him. And that means sometimes I don't quite get and understand God, but I trust him. And I believe in him. And so I'm going to let God be God and Bill be Bill, and I'll do the best that I can, like these great heroes of faith in Genesis have done. They were all commended for their faith. And part of that faith was understanding that God is creator and sustainer. By faith, verse 4, Abel brought God a better sacrifice and offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. You see, Abel gave a sacrifice by faith, and his brother Cain did not. And God accepted Abel's sacrifice and not Cain's. And because of his jealousy, Cain killed his brother Abel. It took one generation past the original couple for the first murder to take place. Does that give you a little bit of an insight into how humans typically are and how much we need the love and grace and mercy of our Creator? Verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found, as it says, because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And so now the writer of Hebrews is going to say, okay, I know someone's going to ask, well, what does it mean to please God? How do we know that Enoch pleased God? And that's where we get this marvelous verse, Hebrews 11, verse 6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And Enoch believed those things. And he walked with God until he was no more in this world. Because God had taken him away. Verse 7, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. He did that by faith. And it was a crazy experience that took a long time, and yet he never wavered from it. He built that ark and he led those animals in. And God shut that door and the rain started, and they were in there for a long, 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 long time. And then when they came out, the first thing he did was worship. Build an altar and worship the God that he believed in. The God that had taken care of him and had delivered him. Verse 8 of Hebrews 11, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, his son and grandson, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Verse 11, by faith Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise, and that was their son, Isaac. And so from this one man, Abraham, and he as good as dead, he was 100 years old when Isaac was born. Sarah was 90. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Now notice verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. The heroes of Genesis were people who lived and died by faith. He goes on to explain, Hebrews 11, 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, verse 16, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. Genesis 22, a very troubling chapter. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from the dead. When God told Abraham, take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, the son of promise, and sacrifice him to me, Abraham obeyed, and he was ready to take that all the way until God stopped him. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau in regard to their future. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff, worshipped until his dying breath. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when his end was near, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites from Egypt and gave instructions concerning the burial of his bones. And those instructions were carried out. His body was preserved. Until hundreds of years later, when Moses led the people out of Egypt and when Joshua led the people across the Jordan River and into the promised land of Canaan and divided up the land among the 12 tribes, and one of those tribes to receive an inheritance was Ephraim, the son of Joseph, and that's where Joseph's remains are buried. All these people were still living by faith when they died, verse 13 says. At the end of Hebrews chapter 11, we find these words in verses 39 and 40. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us they would be made perfect. You see, again, faith is not sight. They didn't see the fulfillment of all these things. They didn't experience owning that land. But they saw them and experienced them by faith, and that's what they were commended for. And now we are commended for the same thing, our faith.
these were all commended for their faith, but God had something better planned for us. And that's why we're here today, for this something, someone that was better. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on who? On Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we go through stuff in this world, it can't take away our joy, and it can't take away our faith, unless we let it. When the doctor says biopsy and pathology and reports, when we heard the news, the doctor came in, the surgeon, and told Joyce and me, well, two things. Number one, you have prostate cancer. And number two, you're going to live a long time. And we were very thankful that he led with that. But life throws things in our way. Some of it is our doing. Some of it is actually someone else's doing. Some of it is just the way of the world, the way of a temporary human body. It wasn't designed to live forever. And so we accept those things by faith, and we fix our eyes on Jesus, the one who experienced all the same things we do and many, many more, including all of the temptations we face, yet without sin. He never sinned. And that's why he is our Savior. That's why we fix our eyes on him. Yes, Abraham and Sarah help us understand that. Enoch and Noah, Jacob and Joseph, sure, of course, and all the other great heroes of faith. But the one we fix our eyes on is Jesus. He's the one. All these wonderful examples of ministry and service. I'm thankful to my friend David Bell, who kind of put a little bug in my ear a while back saying, you know, we didn't have a large attendance when we showed those things, and turns out that our live stream wasn't working, so sorry about that when we showed that, and that's why we did that again this morning, along with this wonderful, wonderful gathering of last week. Let me tell you something. If you want to see a picture of my plate that day, I took a picture of it because it looked great and tasted better. But the fellowship we got and the relationship that we have with our hermanos y hermanas at Iglesia de Cristo Tyler, it is very, very special. Very special. And as much as we are encouraged by each other and encourage each other, we realize, as Sean said, we will fail him. We will fail Jesus. And so we fix our eyes on him. Jesus, you see, is the ultimate hero of our faith. He is our example. He is the author. He is the pioneer. He is the one who blazed the trail for us, ran that race before we did, and not just completed it, but completed it perfectly. Jesus is the ultimate hero of faith. Heroes of faith today are those who point others to Jesus. Not to Bill, not to the elders, not even to the church. We point them to Jesus. And in doing that, they have relationships with all of the above. But none of the above can save them. None of the above can forgive their sins. Because as Sean said, we've all failed. But Jesus has not. Heroes of faith today are those who point others to Jesus. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. So this morning, Jesus is tenderly calling thee home. Calling today. Calling today. Jesus is calling the weary to rest. Come to me, he says. Those of you who are weary and burdened, just flat tired, and I will give you rest. Jesus is tenderly calling today. Calling today. If we can help you answer that call, come as we stand. Sing this great hymn together.
Jesus is tenderly calling today, calling today, calling today. Close by singing the first verse of Standing on the Promises, and then we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let us praise and dream. Glory in the highest, I shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God,
let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for this beautiful day you've brought and this weekend. We had great weather yesterday. Please, God, guard and direct us as we go throughout this week. Keep our hearts to keep the faith in you and your Son, and continue to be with those on our prayer and care list. With that, in your Son's holy name, amen.